Psalm 61. I'm going to read the first three verses here to start off with. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. You know, not sure exactly when this David is writing this psalm, you know, as he's, you know, times he's been pursued by Saul and the rebellion of Absalom and all that's going on there. But you hear David, he says, hear my cry, O God. Is God ever ready to hear our cries? Does he know the inner workings of our heart? He does, doesn't he? He hears our cries and he knows our prayers, and David has faith in that. And that's an encouragement for you and I as we begin this lesson. I wanted to encourage us as we study this and look at David's faith. We need to have that same faith that when times are at their most painful, and at any time to be prayerful to God, but in those difficult times of painful times of trials of life, we need to have the confidence that, you know, number one, God hears us, of course, and number two, that he cares, and number three, that he's able to answer and help. You know, David knew that God hears. He knew that he cares and helps. David teaches us right here that we can pour out our heart to him. We don't have to be all strong, guys. We have to realize that we can break down and weep and pour our heart out to God. We can bring before him our innermost thoughts and emotions. And David shows us in the psalm that God's faithful, and David is faithful, and his faithful people can know that he will answer them. And what does it mean to give heed to something? There in verse 1 it says, give heed to my prayer. Listen. Pay attention. I need attention. You know, you cry out, a young child is crying out because they need attention. They need that immediate need seen to. There's a sense of urgency. And you know, I know I've been worshiping in this congregation since 1981, and left for a couple of years for Iowa, sorry to say, but I know the struggles and trials that many of you have went through. Now, some of you I've just known over the recent, you know, years since then, but I know that many of you have cried out in earnest and desperately needed God's attention and care through terrible situations. And you know what? I have seen that God has sustained you. I've seen that he's carried you through and helped you through and seen your faithfulness to him afterwards. And you know, there's nobody else that we can go to. Although we rely on our brothers and sisters, you know, we're prayerful to our brothers and sisters about them today and always. And there's so many things that we lean on for our family. But there's no one else that we can go to when we need and knows how to help, no matter how deep and away we might feel in despair. And you see there in David, he says, from the end of the earth, you know, he's probably in exile at this time, from Jerusalem. He's away from the tabernacle of God. He's somewhere where he doesn't feel like he can go right to the tabernacle, but God, he's teaching us right there. It doesn't matter. From the end of the earth, he says, all alone, and that lonely feeling when despair happens and trials happen, and he says, no matter what, he can call on him. He called because his heart was, what does he say there at the end of, or the middle of verse 2? My heart is faint. Some of your versions might say that my heart is overwhelmed. And, you know, David teaches us another thing right here, that even godly people like David, can experience times in their lives when they get overwhelmed. They need the strength. And here we have King David here. His heart is faint. It's overwhelmed. It doesn't mean that he's a failure. And that's one thing we have to realize as we're going through struggles. It doesn't mean that our faith is weak. It doesn't mean that we did something wrong. Many times we say, what did I do? You know, I've heard people say that. It's teaching us, and it's a strong reminder as difficulties happen, that we need to draw closer to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 4:8. So this is a reminder that when our heart is faint, and always, we need to pray. We need to pray like David did there in verse 2, the second part of verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, he says. Lead me to that rock that is, to the rock that is higher than I. And as I said, David was king over Israel, over God's people. But he knew that he needed God. He knew that in good times as well as bad. And so, you know, do we do that? Or do we always think of, you know, probably heard the word of God, the jack in the box, God, you know, I'm going to wind it up because I need him to pop up and be here right now. You know, but David doesn't do that. David says there in verse 3, for you have been the refuge for me. David says, I know that he is higher than me. I know that he is always accessible, that accessible rock. And David was feeling like at the end of the earth, he was actually showing gratitude that he knew that he could get to that rock. He knew he had that stability, the availability, the invincibility of the rock that he could trust in. And he knew right there where the help was. Excuse me. Sometimes while we're asking for God's help, where do we need to turn? Maybe other than our brothers and sisters, do we need to look for the instructions? Right? So sometimes as we're asking for help, we need to look into his word. You know, his word provides us those answers, that comfort that we need. It reminds us, most importantly, of our salvation, doesn't it, when those difficulties are happening. Reminds us of what is at the end. And we're going to talk some more about that. The rock, God, and his word will always help us and give us that a refuge. Look at verse 3 there. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we hear a lot of times about refugees in other countries. And we don't really picture them, you know, they're fleeing to something, but we don't picture them as normally considered to be safe and well fed, do we? We don't think of them normally as considered, you know, that difficult situation that they're fleeing from. They don't know what the next thing is going to happen. But for you and I, we have a refuge. And David says, it leads me. I can go to that rock and be safe, have that safe refuge and be taken care of. Not just to get by, you know, like we think of the refugees. They're just getting enough to manage. But there is strength there, David says, a tower of strength. Not just a little help to get by, but a tower of strength. Does God know we're not robots? He does, doesn't he? It's kind of silly, right? But he knows that when our heart is overwhelmed, when we are crying out, we can go to that invincible rock. He doesn't expect us to all of a sudden, oh, I get to the rock, flick the button, everything's fine. You know, why are you still suffering? You've prayed about it. No, God knows that we're not perfect. We're not robots. We can't just click things on and off. And for you and I, sometimes we may have to live with struggles and difficulties that have happened in our life. We may have to live for the rest of our life enduring something. But we know we have that rock, don't we? We know that we have that place that we can go to when we feel overwhelmed from that thing. And you think about God. I thought about this when God created the world, who was with him at the beginning? Yeah. God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with him. What did God know at that time? What was Jesus going to do? He was going to say, did he live with that for a long time? Did the Father live with the knowing that the Son was going to face a cruel death? He did, didn't he? But yet he understood what the end result was, didn't he? He knew what was going to happen at the end. And he knew that it was there to save the world. And so, you know, even though we're overwhelmed at times, that is where our trust in him comes, that if we'll have that faith in him, that he'll be right there for us. And he says there in verse 3, for you have been, not I need you now, but you have been. That closer relationship to God, you know, when difficulties happen, we can't suddenly think that we're going to have the faith to make it through and just turn, like I said, flick that button. We need to have that ready, faithful closeness to God to make it through those difficulties. Because if not, the difficulties are going to be even that much more difficult if we don't have that close relationship with God. So when the bad happens and we have a refuge, a tower of strength, we don't have to dwell on our problems. You know, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get all wrapped up in all the other problems and think about ourselves. And it's hard not to sometimes, I know. But the devil wants us to be distracted by all those things and not care about our brothers, not worry about that family member, not worry about this or that, just be absorbed, as they say, about yourself. Is there any problem that God can't solve? No, there's not. Then why do we, and I'm just as guilty as that as anyone, why do we continually dwell on them if we know that he can solve it? You know, we need to have some respect for our God that he can relieve those fears. Remember, those problems may not go away, but he can relieve those fears and understand that we must keep all our problems in the right perspective. If we don't understand why it's happening, he does. He has all the answers. And our faith in God, there's nothing insurmountable. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible with who? God and him who believes, right? For you and I, we have to have that faith. Believe. All things are possible if we believe and have that faith. David asks to dwell in verse 4. He has to dwell in God's tent. Look there in verse 4. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Is there security in God's tent? Instead of refuge, what?
Shelter?
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know, we usually think about a tent. You ever go camping in a tent and the windstorms come? When I was a kid I think it was Cub Scouts at the time, a tornado was coming nearby. So we had to pack up and leave. But did you ever build a tent when you were a kid? Some of your our children, we've watched them build that tent out of blankets and afghans. And you know, you think about that in your house, in your living room. Were they very stable? But they would fall and collapse either the blanket or maybe the thing that you were using, the book or whatever, would slide off and, you know, and hit you. But with God's tent, we have a refuge on all sides. We're safe from all worry, and we're safe also. We need to think about this, that closeness to God, not just the difficulties that we can go to Him and the struggles of things that happen in life, but the safety from sin and the attacks of the devil. If we're in that refuge and shelter and coverage of God's love in His tent, there is help in that tent to overcome sin. But outside that tent, there is the devil. Yeah, Eric? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think so. And then, yeah, there may be some other. Yeah, yeah. And so they're used to thinking about that tent wise in that time. But just like, you know, the benefits of helping us during difficulties, as we have faith in a relationship to God, we can find a refuge from, as I mentioned, evil. Look at Proverbs 1:33. Proverbs 1:33, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. So, you know, we can't just come to church and think, well, I've done my thing today, and then go out and live like the rest of the world, can we? Because sin is going to overtake us, and it's going to ruin and cost us our souls. But he says that he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. The wisdom of God is going to keep us from many of life's problems and through the difficulties and the ease of the dread of evil. You know, listening and seeking God's word also, you know, when you think about that, the instruction, the listening to me, and seeking God's word will give us that peace and strength as difficulties come. You know, it can't be keep us from worry when things in life, but it, you know, are not going well. But you know, are thinking about those things. But it can help us not have to be absorbed by them. Live securely from sin. God does not want us to suffer consequences. He doesn't want us to be absorbed. He doesn't want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to have difficulty in life. That's why he gave his son. That's why he gave us his word and as a guide. Help give us insight and avoid sin so we don't have to reap the consequences. You think about that, you know, 1 Timothy 2:4 says he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want us or anyone else out in the world to suffer the consequences, but we have to listen to his word to live securely in his shelter, and we have to have faith in him that he'll help us through all the difficulties. He wants us to wants us to feel that we have that refuge in the shelter. Look at the second part of verse 4 there in Psalm 61. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings, he says there. Does God see everything in this life? Does he see what happened in your house in 1972, Rick?
Yes.
Did he see everything that happened on a hill, on a mountaintop, maybe out in Colorado? He sees everything. God sees everything that's going on. But you think about this verse. I want us to really think about this. Each of us think about this. I want you to realize he sustains the whole world, doesn't he? He knows what's going on. But his special concern is what? His own, isn't it? His special concern is his own. His care is for those that belong to him. He says, David says, let me dwell. Let me take refuge. God cares for his children. Let's look at Psalms 103. Might help us just a little bit on this thought. Yeah, Leroy. Right. Yeah. Yeah. A mother hen, when the hawk is coming by, that those sheep, those wings and secures those little chicks, doesn't she? It's exactly the same thought process, Leroy, exactly. Look at Psalms 103, verse 11 through 14. Psalms 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. God knows how frail we are. But his focus is he's sustaining the world, but his focus is loving kindness towards those who fear him. It's compassion for his children. And he's removed our transgressions. He knows everything about us. And that is so encouraging to me as I was thinking about this lesson. Those who dwell in his tent, those who have taken refuge and shelter in his wings, like the mother hen guarding those chicks, he sustains the earth, but he cares for you. David prays and knows there's nothing else, there's no substitute the watchful care that God gives us. He says, let me dwell. Let me take refuge. And you know, you think about that back in Psalm 61. David's desire. And that's what, for you and I, have that desire and focus on staying right there. Don't get distracted by the world. Don't get distracted by all those problems. Don't get down about all those difficulties. And I know, trust me, I know how hard it is. That is right where God wants us to be. He wants us to be focused on staying right there close to him. He doesn't want us to venture out. He doesn't want us to do anything creative in our worship. He wants us to follow his instructions. He wants us to stay focused on his word. Not be distracted by the struggles of life and dwelling on the trials. He wants us to focus on doing good. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing what? Good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Satan is hurling all those obstacles at us, isn't he? All those difficulties in sin, he wants it to be so difficult. And he wants that sin to enter into our mind. He wants us to lose heart. But God wants us to not lose heart. He wants us to do good and not grow weary. You know, and sometimes it seems easier just to give up and quit. God wants us to reap eternal life, but in order to do that, we need to focus on eternal life, don't we? That's what David is saying right there. God wants us to reap eternal life, and instead of focusing on the trials and temptations, which James tells us if we deal with them in faith can help make us stronger. But we see in Psalm 61, and look at verse 5 there. I'm going to read 5 through 7. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. You know, David seems to kind of shift gears here and now focus more on as if God has answered some prayers and kept him safe and he's thankful. And you think about that, David's speaking about himself, that he believes God will respond to his vows. He has expressed his devotion to God. He's expressed how he knows he has been given an inheritance, doesn't he? He has faith that he knows. David says, who has been given the inheritance? Who does he say there? Those who fear your name. You know, the promised land of Canaan was given to the God's people. But not all those entered in, did they? And so, you think about that, the center of God's plan for Israel, the promised land, and for you and I, it's the same. The center of God's plan for and desire is for you and I to make it to that promised land. He wanted all those people struggling in the desert to make it, but they continued to not fear him. And salvation is there for our souls, and eternal life is promised for us. You know, he says there, the inheritance was those who fear your name. And I looked, you know, you look in Psalms and you look in Proverbs. There's so many different examples about the fear of God, having fear of God and fear his name. It's not a fear that is if he's going to strike you right now, but it's a fear that's going to give you, if you'll be humble, it'll give you humility. The fear of God will give you wisdom and knowledge. It says there in Psalms and Proverbs, it adds to your life and blessed. And I could go on and on. There were so many different good examples. And the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, right? So he says there, David says there, you have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. Let's look at 1 John 2:23 and 25, real quick. 1 John 2:23 through 25. 1 John 2:23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you that you heard from the beginning, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. You know, think about that, the day that you confessed God and were baptized and you felt that overwhelming feeling of salvation, of joy, and that beginning feeling, God wants us to continue to have that, because he says there, the focus I want us to look at is verse 25. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. David realized that the inheritance was those, you know, for those who feared him. That was the focus. That was the promise. The promised land was the promise, but for you and I, the promise is there, not just from that very beginning, but to the very end. He wants, as a king, he wants to, you look there back in Psalm 61, he realizes that this is what matters, the inheritance, and he wants to live long and serve as king. He says, will you prolong the king's life? His years will be as many generations. You will prolong. He really wants to be there to continue to fulfill God's desire to live as a godly king. And David wants to serve God and with loving kindness and truth. You know, we know there are several scriptures that tell us that David was a man after God's own heart, right? Because, not because he was perfect, but because he wanted to do the will of God. He wasn't perfect, but he was committed to God's way. And that's all God wants from us. He wants us to be dedicated to his way, to be dedicated to his law and instruction, and to realize that we have a avenue to come to him through his son, that no matter what the situation is, that he'll be there for us. You know, Solomon talked about being the king. He says, loyalty and truth preserve the king, and he upholds the throne by righteousness. That's all God wants from us. We're no different than the king of Israel. He just wants loyalty and truth for us to follow. You and I, that's what God wants, that promise that he gives us. And look there finally in verse 8 of Psalm 61. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. Sing praise to your name, David says. David recognizes that the glory of God is going to take his commitment to God, and from his heart, he's going to express how he feels. And you think about that, whether we're singing and during our prayers or communion or sermon, where's our heart? And David says day by day, it's an expression of all the time, not just here in the worship, but as our heart is thankful to God for what he's done for us. Not wrapped up in all the struggles. David was running for his life at this time. Whatever the situation, from David's heart, daily in all the situations, he wanted to have that closeness over and over. You see David's desire. He wants to be closer to God. And let's look at one other scripture, Psalm 42. I think we're very familiar with Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, from a song that we sing. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, you think about that, a conscious awareness of what we need. And that's what God's desire for us is, to have that thirst for him. We can't get closer to God if we don't have that thankfulness and praise that David was saying, and that thirst of wanting to draw closer to him. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Praise and thanksgiving of him is what he is, for what he's done for us through his son, right? That's what David had, a thirst for God, day by day, thankfulness. And the thirst was for one day appearing before God. Don't lose heart. Don't give up, as David didn't. He had that thirst for one day appearing before God and sing his praise forever. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. Appreciate everyone.